thought for today. How I live is a portrait of myself. How I live is a portrait of myself. Now, Sylvia just gave us a talk about her experiences in the monastery. Actually, they're her experiences as a student in the convent. And she was saying that the students had a wonderful time there, and she had a wonderful time. But her cooking teacher left a little bit to be desired. And just because her cooking teacher was a nun in a monastery, in a convent, did not mean that she was an illumined person. And of course, that's very true. The cook was very upset with the students for whatever reason, and was throwing around pots and pans and being very outspoken and being very difficult to get along with. And so the students complained to the director, and the director came in and sat in on a class without the teacher knowing it necessarily, and the teacher had to be corrected by the director. Well, how I live is a portrait of myself. We have the opportunity of having experiences in our life where we have unhappy people in our awareness, people who are like the teacher who was very obstreperous with the students and was very loud and very unkind with the students. And so the students went in and told the mother superior, the directress, that they didn't feel that they should be confronted with that sort of an attitude. Now, what Sylvia didn't remember is that the director didn't make a change. The director did not take the teacher out of the class. The director merely said to the teacher, "Ah, you're getting to some of the students. Some of the students are creating you as a very unhappy lady teaching their class, and you're getting to them. That's wonderful. You just hang right in there and you do your job. Your job is to be a monster. Your job is to be a very unkind lady. And it's their job to create you as a beautiful, tolerant, gentle, loving lady. But if they don't create you as a beautiful, tolerant, gentle, loving lady, they will not have learned the situation that they're here for. They're not here in the monastery, in the convent, to spend 24 hours of the day with their nose in the prayer book and their beads being counted around their neck, their rosary being done steadily. They're here to learn how to be untouched. They're here to learn what the nuns learn in the monastery. They're here to learn how to be non-judgmental. They're here to learn how to recognize what's going on, and that they are the creator of their world, and that everything that they experience in their world, they have created for some reason. Perhaps because they have not stood the test of time and taken responsibilities for it. How I live is a portrait of myself. The nun who was outspoken with the students has already been in conference with the directress, and it is her responsibility to irritate the children and see if they can stand it and handle it. If every experience that we have in life is a harmonious experience, a joyous experience, an experience that leaves us feeling happy, we don't learn much. But when we have challenging experiences in our life, then we begin to learn something. How I live is a portrait of myself. How I live. How I live personally, I am very happy. How I appear to you sometimes to be living, I sound like I might not be too happy. I sound like I might be very upset with you. And if I sound that way, then it's up to you to do something about it. Was every child in that cooking class unhappy with the teacher? Oh, yes, they were. Because you were looking at it only through the eyes of the unkindness. But many of the children looked at the teacher and said, she's just like my grandma. She always expects the best out of me. When I go and cook with my mother, mother always says, no, I'll do it. I'll do it. You go ahead. When I'm with my grandma says, I'm not doing it for you. You're doing it. You're cooking. Now, you make the souffle. You make the au gratin. You make the potatoes. But grandma, I don't know how. This is a time for learning. But I don't know how. Sit down and do it. This is a time for learning. I'm not going to do it for you. But grandma, that's mean. It is, isn't it? Ha 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 ha. And pretty soon she realizes that grandma sticks with her. That grandma's not really sticking pins in her. That grandma is merely giving her an opportunity to do it herself. She has conned everyone in the world to do her chores for her, and now she wants to con grandma into doing the cooking, and so she can take the credit for it, grandma's cooking. But grandma's wise to young girls. Grandma has raised a few herself, and she's had other grandchildren. And so sometimes you have to act pretty tough. You have to really holler and shout to get through. Oh, but you don't have to holler and shout to get through. You can be gentle. You can be loving and kind. You can be sincere. You can be such a loving person. Well, that's true. And the lesson goes on and on and on and on and on. You see, when the teacher has to be gentle and loving and kind with the students, not encouraging the students to do the right thing at all times, not encouraging the students to always do their very best, but just be gentle and loving and kind and go on. That teacher is bored to tears with the class. When the teacher expects the best out of the students, and the students give their best to the teacher, the teacher has worked, and the students have worked, and both teacher and student feel wonderful about it. Where are you standing on this game, How I Live as a Portrait of Myself? What sort of portrait do you have of yourself? Do you have a portrait that you are a saint, that you are a wonderful person, that you are a sensitive, caring person? What is the image that you have of yourself? You see, as Sylvia went to the monastery, she says, oh, the halls were so beautiful. The meditation place was so wonderful. The place where the Pope had meditated was so wonderful. It is so lovely. I loved it. Now, what are we learning? We are learning that in Sylvia's previous experience, she did not have as much discipline as might have been good for her. We are learning that when people choose to create themselves in a convent or a monastery or a special military school or something like that, they want more attention. They want the very best in them to be encouraged. Now, many times parents have the wisdom to send their children to these schools, and the children benefit from it. But they don't have the wisdom, if the children stay at home, to require the very best out of the children at all times. And because they don't require the best out of the children are unable to give it. Why is it that children are unable to give their best? Children need motivation. Adults need motivation too. We read about this company in the Philippines where they were having a little difficulty, and they're waiting for their mainline investors to come through, and the company was holding together meanwhile, but they were waiting for the mainline investors to come through, and as of that moment they hadn't come through. What would the employees of that store do? Would they all quit? Did they like their work there? Did they like their job? Did they like their opportunities? Some of them did. They didn't quit. Now, were they not being paid? No, they were being paid. Were they not being given privileges? They were being given privileges. What was it that was happening? They were missing out on the most important thing any company has to share with the employee. Can any of you think of the word?
Loyalty.
What's the one word that they're missing out with that the company's not sharing with them? Motivation. They're not getting the motivation. Ingeborg, I am going to make you chairman of the Shangri-La, and you will decide what money is to be spent over there. You decide what construction we're going to do over there. You decide. It sounds nice, doesn't it? Doesn't it sound nice?
Everything sounds nice, sir.
Okay. Ellen, I am going to make you in charge of the Hermitage. You're going to redesign the Hermitage and make it into a lovely place, and you have full authority to do anything you want, and the sky is the limit as far as money is concerned, because we are at the peak of our income. Now, what would you think of something like that?
Beautiful.
And then I'd say, now, you must do this, and you must do this, and you must do this, and you must do it my way. What would you think of that? That's not too beautiful, because you have no self-individualization being operating there. You are doing it my way. Now, what if I said to you, Ellen, I'm going to be gone now for 2 months, and when I come back, I want the Hermitage completely redesigned, completely done over, and I want you to do it with using your imagination. What would you do? What would you feel? You feel wonderful.
Yeah.
And Ellen, you have nothing else to do but that.
Oh.
Oh, that's even better. Okay, now, what would you do?
I would redesign it.
Now, would you limit yourself to what I might have said at some time was interesting? No. Would you limit yourself to how it presently appears? Would you limit yourself to anything that you have heard or thought about the place in its history?
No.
What if you decide to put a gigantic roof over it, and then you tear the insides out and rebuild it according to whatever you want to do? You know, keeping in line that you're remodeling. And in remodeling, you can do anything you want. So, you're remodeling it. Now, what would you do? Well, would you put a swim mix, a jacuzzi right in the middle of it? And would you put slides from the various bedrooms going down into it, so you can just slide out of your bed in the morning and go into the swim mix, the jacuzzi? Would you every little suite, if you had a number of suites there, each one with its own bathroom and shower and tub, and a jacuzzi maybe, and each one with its own computer room, and each one with its own wardrobe room, you know, whatever, and each one with its own outside patio, so that and the place is on a constant turning, so everybody's always getting equal amount of sun and equal amount of shade. Wouldn't that be interesting?
Mm-hmm.
No. And then let's see. In your living room, Harry Potter tent, you know, in your living room, when you walk into your living room, it bursts open into whatever it is that you visualize for a living room. But before you walk into it, it's nothing. It's just a little nothing, just a little nothing. And so, but the moment you walk in there, it is exactly what you visualize. Now, what if you created that room so that whoever walked in there would see whatever they wanted to see? What would people see? Anything. Anything. You see, how I live is a portrait of myself. Now, how am I thinking about the Hermitage? How am I thinking about the embassy? How am I thinking about the retreats? How am I thinking about anything here on campus? With an open heart, joyous, happy, fulfilling, exciting. Now, if I think anything else, what happens? That's what I experience. Whatever my heart is doing, whatever my heart is thinking, that's what I'm experiencing. Now, Ingeborg experienced a little bit this noon because she wasn't listening to me. And when you don't listen to me, you miss an opportunity. And now she'll listen, perhaps, because that's very important. Now, what was it she didn't listen to? She didn't listen to her own heart. Now, if her own heart tells her she should act contrary to me, then her own heart is not doing her a good service. But if her own heart says that she should do everything that she can possibly do that I ask her to do, then that's wonderful. Now, do all the rest of you do everything you can possibly do that I ask you to do? Yeah, sometimes. But sometimes not. Mainly, you don't do it in your thought. You may begrudgingly go and do something, but in your thought, you don't absolutely go out and do it. Now, I said to Ingeborg, how would you like to have unlimited funds to spend on Shangri-La? And she says, whatever. Now, why does Ingeborg say whatever? Why does she feel that it's not really important what we're doing? Why does she have that feeling? Well, she has that feeling because she feels sorry for herself right now. Now, does she have to feel sorry for herself right now? Not at all. Do you ever feel sorry for yourselves?
No.
Never, yeah. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we all feel sorry for ourselves from time to time, and that's the time to get over it. That's the time to be on top of it, because we don't ever want to feel sorry for ourselves. We want to be on top of it all the time. We want to be masters of ourselves all the time. We want to be the creative imagination for whatever it is we want to do all the time. Now, how I live is a portrait of myself. Ingeborg, when you get in your golf cart, how do you live? You get in there and you drive and you're happy and you're tootling from here to there and you're doing your thing. You're going to the mail. You're coming back to the monastery. You're going to the Shangri-La. You're going here. You're just having a ball. Now, why are you happy when you're doing that? Because you're in charge. You absolutely say how fast you're going to go or how slow you're going to go. You absolutely say what you're going to do first, whether you go one place or the other place. You absolutely say that. You know, you're the boss, and you like that, right? Yeah.
If you say that means being the boss.
I'm sorry?
When you say that means being the boss, and it is so.
When I say what? When I say what?
I can only accept what you're saying.
When I say what?
If I say something,
you have to ask you something.
Okay. So, Ingeborg has a chance to be happy when she's in her golf cart. So, I suggest that we make every effort to have her in her golf cart as much of the time as possible. In fact, I think we should set up the work that she does on the mailing list in the golf cart. And we could probably put a little trailer on there, and then she could haul that thing around. And that'd be lovely. Why aren't we using the Golden Room publishing room for doing the mailing of the labels and stuff? I mean, where Ingeborg does it, it's so so away from everything, you know. Maybe that's a nice place to do, where you can meditate and you can be alone and you can be private. Is that one of the reasons? Perhaps it is. How I Live is a portrait of myself. Ingeborg lives as a happy, joyous, fulfilled, magnificent woman. Ellen? I'm not sure. Ellen could live as a happy, wonderful, fulfilled person, but she doesn't. You know why she doesn't?
Because she does.
Oh, she does. Okay. What would be the only reason that she wouldn't be doing it? If she said, I am not doing it. Now, why any of us would ever say we're not doing something that would make us happy is really strange. So, let's think about it. How I Live is a portrait of myself. You look at me, and you look at my life, and you say, well, that's okay. Even with all the apparent problems, you say, that's okay. Now, do you look at yourself, and you say, that's okay? Do you look at yourself and say, I want more? That's good. But be in charge of yourself. Be in charge of your life, be happy with yourself, and know that the portrait that you're painting is one of yourself. And when you're painting this portrait, you can have the greatest adventure of your entire life if you want. Or it can be too ordinary. But if you want to be the greatest adventure of your life, just say, I like me. Just say, I'm having a great time. Just say, I'm whole and perfect. Just say, I'm wealthy. Just say, I'm happy and healthy and all that good stuff. That's all it takes. That's all it takes. And if you say it any differently, then you are going backwards. And if you want to go backwards, go right ahead. We do not see any of you ever going backwards. Do you want to go backwards?
Only forward.
Ingeborg? If you don't want to go backwards, go forwards. Because you can, and you are. I love you all very much, and I see you going forward wonderfully now.